a little blinker there. We're go time. Intro music. Go.
What are we listening to?
Sway.
Anna of the North. Not a local artist, so I'm really blowing it already.
No,
but
it's all good.
I like this song, so. Faded in here now. Pro fade in skills right there.
Pro fade.
Better than ours.
Alright, here we go. We're back with whatever episode number this is of the Local Love YYC podcast. And I am now on the other side of the table. I'm with the Music for Life guys, Steve Leong and Michael Campese.
Yeah, yeah.
And these guys are the ones who actually kind of inspired me to start a podcast of my own. When they had me as a guest probably 3 months ago-ish now.
Yeah.
And here we are, back at their home base. Technically still on the same side of the table.
The roles have reversed.
Yeah, figuratively.
Yes. Technically, but figuratively, the roles have reversed. So, where do we want to start off? We're just going to have a general conversation. You were talking about something about YouTube, iTunes, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about Spotify and different music, you know.
The investment of Spotify.
Yeah, and I found something today that you can, maybe this is common, maybe you know about this. You can take a YouTube video and transfer it to, like, an MP3 or something and
right.
get it onto your iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a direct thing, no, like,
yeah.
advertisements, no commercials or nothing. Yeah, work told me about it. He sent me the link.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
check it out.
I've been using that for a while.
Have you?
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
It's huge. It's
taking
a game changer.
YouTube link, turning it into an MP3. So you're just like, you want some song or something like that.
I'm sure it's super illegal, but...
Right.
So I've never done it, actually.
Yeah, no. You wouldn't do something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool.
Right.
Like,
it's
super
easy too, eh? Not that I've done it, but like, I would imagine you just like click the link and then paste it somewhere else and then click download.
I'm gonna try it out.
I'm thinking it's something like that.
I mean, I won't do it, but
right.
If I do try it, which I won't, I'll let you know.
You can imagine what it'd be like.
Yeah.
That would
click and paste.
Pretty neat.
No, I think it's awesome.
Yeah,
and because not that I'm all about like let's get something clear here. I like to pay for music. I like to support.
Right.
Musicians and I especially after dealing with musicians for as long as we have, I like to support artists, but there are some just like some playlists that go on and on and on that would just be nice to have. And
yeah, that's a good point.
I think they're just random, you know,
yeah.
YouTube clips that someone's put up, and
that's where I got this song that I just started this off with. It's like I've just been usually. I don't know. I'm behind the times in a way. Like I don't have Spotify. I don't have like some of this stuff, but. My go-to is just kind of the YouTube, like, playlist, like you said. So I'll just get, like, an hour of, like, some mix of, you know, I'll look up, like random shit, like, electronic jazz music and, like, all this, like,
thing,
that are just, like, voyages, you know, and you never know what's going to come of it. And then I'll Shazam it, right, when it's on a good part, because it's usually some sort of a, you know, the songs are usually condensed, so it'll be, like, 2 minutes of each song, right? But then I'll Shazam that song, and then boom... I find new music like that.
Sweet.
Yeah, man.
But anyways, not that I'm going to do anything illegal, but I'm definitely going to try it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth it. I mean, I think. I've heard it's worth it. also, got to give you guys props, because this donkey talking right now forgot his cord for my microphone. So...
I got
you guys came up clutch.
Well, I'm a little disappointed. I wanted to try old Blue out because
our
setup
is.
I don't know.
I'm neglecting Blue a little bit at the moment because I noticed the sound on this thing. It seems pretty superior, and it's 10 years old.
pretty easy to use too.
Yeah,
plug and play. These Zooms are pretty awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, they do a decent job. It would be nice to have a professional studio one day.
One day, boys.
Yeah.
One day. Everyone has mic, everyone has headphones.
Maybe we could
need a producer to make sure everything's, you know.
Well, even just to get the levels of everyone talking, because like we were saying before, like, these, you know, we're having a conversation. There's one mic in the middle of the room that's recording all of our voices. That if we had all of, like, our own mics with our own volume control, like,
it'd
make a huge difference. It'd be such an easier listen.
Yeah.
I personally don't have a problem with our podcast because it's our podcast, right? I don't really give a shit. But I know for listeners, sometimes the sound is is a thing, right? So, I mean, I think the goal would be definitely one day to
up the game,
ditch whatever the hell we're using here, like the plumbing supplies from Home Depot. That,
but I mean, podcasts all around the world are using these Zooms.
Yeah,
and they do have pretty good sound.
Yeah,
yeah.
The next guest I'm trying to line up, it has a recording studio.
Oh yeah.
So his company's Treeline Recordings. What's his name? Ryan is his name. I'm trying to get him on here relatively soon. So that would be cool to actually record using his stuff and just see how much better it is.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be night and day, I imagine.
Yeah.
It could be one of our goals for this year. Like, realistically, I mean, you could probably hook up, like, a microphone like you got over there, like the blue, with this. And then that way, you know, it could be something, it could be a really simple adjustment that we would only need to make, you know. I don't know what the hell these are for. Like, there's little ports here on the bottom of this thing. We could probably figure out something with those, too.
Yeah, like, with a little bit of research,
we
could probably find out that it's probably relatively inexpensive to increase the sound substantially.
Have you guys thought about the video aspect? Like, adding that?
It would be fun to do.
Talked about it.
I think it'd be nice to be able to also release the podcast on YouTube,
yeah.
Because, I mean, again, it'd be very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Really, we could probably, if we wanted to, just, like,
use your iPhone.
You know, set up the phone in a decent position, it on some kind of a stand or something
laptop.
Like that.
Yeah.
Or his laptop or whatever. And these things have such good cameras nowadays that
it
would be good enough for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you just, you match up the sound with it. Like, it would be very simple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. For someone who knew what they were doing, like, it would probably take them 3 seconds to be like, oh, do this, do this, and away you go.
Like, I guess we could if we wanted to an audio file or something like that on there. But, I mean, again, just for how simple it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes I will watch, like, you know, I'm an MMA fan, so I'll watch, like, you know, the MMA Hour. Or I'll watch, like, you know, The Fighter and the Kid or something, like the video version.
Yeah.
Just because I'm, you know, maybe I'm at work and I'm listening to it in my ear over lunch or something like that. And sometimes you do get a little more
tonality,
body language, the way they're moving their hands around or faces they're making or whatever.
Yeah, so. I think I don't know. It's probably down the road for me too, but I don't think it's that hard. And like you said, like I'm kind of like a poker guy. I like to play poker, and there's this poker podcast out there that I've been watching lately, and it's kind of cool to just have that extra element. Like, whether you're actually watching them or not, like, you can kind of chime in and out. Maybe you're watching them for a bit, maybe you're not. Maybe it's on your
external speaker. Background or whatever.
Yeah, but kind of cool to have, so something to work towards, guys.
Yeah, and again, it's like, fuck me, like, the only thing that would keep us from doing is really laziness, because it's so easy.
Yeah, true enough, like, it would be something pretty simple we could figure out in not a lot of effort.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Sweet. So what have you guys been up to since I saw you last? You guys came to my event, which was very cool.
Was that November?
Early November. So you guys came to that, which is sweet, but I don't think I've really seen you guys since. I've been meaning to go. I meant to go to a bunch of those shows, but I had other stuff going on every time. So you guys just finished. You finished that little music series of.
Yeah, we finished Live Music Thursdays at Vendome for the month of January.
Nice.
So
every Thursday.
On Thursdays, So Vendome has live music every Thursday.
Okay.
And for the last few years, this would be the third year in a row, we were able to partner with them so that we booked and curated the events, okay, the live music for the month.
Right.
So actually, in the past, we typically had December.
Okay.
But this year we had January, which I kind of like. I would do January again, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Typically, we're stuck to three Thursdays in January because one of those is falling on holidays. So
yeah, like one of those Thursdays is Christmas, right. Boxing
yeah,
Day.
If you're in December.
Yeah. So we've always just had three shows, but then as well, we've also booked Saturday shows in December before too. But
yeah.
But yeah, so I would do January again. I think other than that first Thursday after the holidays was maybe a little slow. But other than that, like the turnout was pretty good.
Yeah.
The turnout was pretty good.
All the artists killed it.
Great artists.
Unbelievable the talent in Calgary, man. Like some musicians a little more well known than others, but just fantastic. New stuff. Like
actually one of the artists we booked, we first saw at your event.
Is that Lexi?
Yeah, we saw Lexi straight at your event, and we're like, yeah,
she's legit, hey?
Yeah, she's the real deal. We're like, yeah.
She's taking over friggin' from George Canyon singing the anthems at the Dome.
Is she taking over?
Well, yeah. She's the successor.
Is she the successor?
I believe so.
Really?
Yeah.
They've announced that. Some.
That's well, I mean, she's done it like 4 or 5 times now.
Oh.
I think he's kind of over it.
Yeah, like how many fucking times you want to sing O Canada?
Yeah, well, and especially like as a guy who's been, you know, he's been
you're trying
around
to do
the world
music
and shit.
Shit and
yeah,
O Canada.
Well,
I was kind of surprised that George Canyon.
I never liked it. Yeah,
I
never
liked it. Like it just seems different. Yeah. I mean, a professional musician that took a job like that. I mean,
but if he was in between things and they were like, "Oh, dude, we'll pay you X amount of dollars every time," it's like, "Oh, okay, yeah,
that
sure."
Makes sense.
But it's so much more beneficial for like a young up and comer like Lexi.
Yes,
right. And
that's gonna give her a lot of exposure. Every night she does it, there's like
I know
many people watching
exactly
on TV.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'd kind of rather see her on the Jumbotron than.
Yeah.
And George.
Although George is a good looking man.
He is
he's
a good looking
man.
Just
he is.
Right?
No. Okay. He's too tall.
Yeah. No, Lexi's fantastic. Not only was she an unbelievable performer, like I think she killed it at your event.
Yeah.
She was so good on that stage. It was a big stage and she just like she owned it. I mean she killed it. And we were able to we had talked before. The event, so I was able to introduce myself, and she jumped all over it when we asked her, and
perfect.
Super glad she was able to make it out. Just a really nice person as well. You know,
that's the one thing
that I always like. I don't know why I always think this way, but sometimes I think, you know, these talented musicians are going to be snobs for some reason.
Yeah,
and then every time I meet somebody, I'm just like,
it's nice.
They're so amazing. Like they're just great. You know,
and
some that we've actually. We've been friends now for a while because they're just good people. You want to hang around them.
Yeah.
And it's a constant trend in the local Calgary music scene. Musicians are awesome people.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't ran into any dickheads yet, so that's a good sign.
Yeah. But you know what? We had some other really talented musicians, like actually the vice president of the company that I work for. His daughter sings, and she's going to school down in Nashville.
Oh, nice.
A little more country than we're typically accustomed to, but I've heard her before. I think she's super talented, and we had Kaylee Jo Kirk play the first Live Music Thursday.
Yeah.
And she's got a set of pipes.
Mm-hmm.
She can
like,
sing.
Hearing her in that little coffee shop, I'm like, man, I wish this was like 5 times the size because
she
would fill that room.
She could do big
no
babies with that voice. Oh, her voice was crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And she writes her own songs.
Yeah.
Like, she played, obviously, a mix of covers and whatnot. But
yeah. She's got, I think I remember seeing this on social media. Like, she's got some pretty decent music video, like,
great music videos.
Professional
style.
Yeah.
Same with Lexi as well. But yeah, that's that goes a long way too, I think, for getting out there. Right?
Her music videos were super impressive, and like she was she had a full I think it was a 10-song album, like a full album.
Yeah, she had a full album. When she was pulling it out, I thought, oh, you know, she's
it's always an EP.
Well, she's just
so classic,
right? But she has so much music, I think she just put it on an album, got it done properly, and it's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Right. And then who else did you guys
have? Then we had Francis Cheer, who he has been a supporter of ours for many years. He's musician slash artist. He's donated some of his art pieces to a couple of our art showcases that we used to have.
Legit, yeah.
That's kind of how we got to know him. I mean, we knew him first as a musician, and then we found out he was an artist, but he's kind of been in between. He hasn't really done a whole lot of music. He focused a little bit more on the artistic side of his creativity, I guess, for the last couple of years, and he got back into the studio and just released a new album, and so...
Which is very good.
And he's from Calgary. Very good. Then?
Local musician, nice. Francis Cheer. It's on Bandcamp.
Nice. iTunes.
Highly recommended.
Yes, like we talk a lot of shit. Like, oh yeah, every time someone's on the podcast, best album ever. Let's do it.
Yeah.
The Francis Cheer one, I literally have been listening to over and over and over again.
Oh, nice.
It's really good.
Cool.
Yeah, he's been on our podcast. I think we've had him on now a couple times.
Oh, cool.
He's got... an amazing, I call it a life story. I mean, he's with his mental health challenges, like, he just puts it into a perspective where we can have a conversation.
Right.
And it's not like, oh my God, like, he's just
very forthright.
He's
well
spoken. He's smart. He, you know, he can articulate how he feels and how he's gone through his certain struggles really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had him on a couple times, and like I said, when we knew we were getting January for Live Music Thursdays, he was definitely a top pick of mine. And as soon as he released his album, it was almost like a no-brainer. Like, we have to get him, right?
Yeah.
So.
He's a good guest, too. He's someone you might want to check out. He's a very thoughtful guy.
He's
like,
cool.
Whenever a subject would come up, you could tell that, like, it's something that he's thought about before and that he can articulate very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting guy to have conversations with, for sure.
He'd have some good thoughts on Trump.
Oh yeah,
he would actually.
I bet
you
he'd be great on politics with.
Yeah,
for sure.
Slippery slope, but it could be interesting.
Yeah,
yeah.
Light it
cool.
up.
Cool. So that,
and then
right.
to round out the month, we had Laura Halverson. She is.
I'm gonna spell that wrong. Laura
H.
Sorry, go ahead.
Fantastic. She's in the band Run Deer Run.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and. Again, huge supporters of I Will Survive. We are huge supporters of them. We just love Adam and Laura and Bryce. Met Adam and Laura a couple years ago. They played one of our art showcases, and we just loved them since that day. And we actually had them play one of our Music for Life events, one of the concerts there 2 years ago, I guess.
One of our favorite bands, for sure. They've played
them
a lot of times. Yeah, we like them a lot. They're legit one of the best bands in the city.
Oh, 100%. Definitely check out Run Deer Run. Laura just she posted something that she was playing like a solo show a couple weeks ago, and we reached out to her and we're like, hey, if you're doing this, why don't you come and play Vendome? And of course, she jumped all over it, and we were just thrilled to have her out because she's got one of those voices that I'm just drawn to, you know, like if I were just listening to Spotify or something, if I heard her on the radio or on this player, I would definitely like be buying her album because it just, I just love her voice. I think, you know, in Run Deer Run, she, I don't want to say her voice is kind of like an instrument but it adds a lot. Right. And then just seeing her play solo, it was just like, man,
she was doing some
good she was.
Funky shit too. She was like looping her voice and then singing harmonies.
Yeah. That's cool.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Like it was.
I like that stuff. Yeah.
It was good, man.
Done right, that's awesome.
Yeah, it sounded good.
Great.
Yeah. And it was like her second solo show. So like I'll be interested to see what she keeps working on because she was playing around with some funky stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I mean, she's again super talented, great songwriter. I mean. And
nicest person,
great person, you know.
Does she have some solo stuff kicking around? Like, I feel like we're pumping her tires pretty hard. We might have to play her at some point.
I don't know.
It's probably not
she
really
does,
recorded,
You know, she's on Facebook.
She just started doing the solo stuff.
Yeah, she does have a Facebook page. I think it's Laura Halverson Music on Facebook. I don't remember seeing any like posts or anything.
Right,
but
she's starting to do a little bit of solo work. I see.
Yeah, check out Run Deer Run. Follow Laura Halverson Music and stay up to date with all she's got going on because it's definitely worth it.
Halverson. Boom. Halverson.
Yeah. So we had a great great month at Vendome. We had a lot of a lot of people came out and just supported the musicians and supported us. And, you know, Vendome has been so good to us mm-hmm. over the last few years that, you know, mm-hmm. we really promoted Live Music Thursdays in January because we wanted to obviously get as many people there as we possibly could. But, you know, for those listening, Live Music Thursdays, Vendome Cafe in Sunnyside, it's, you know, no one's ever said anything bad about Vendome. The food is amazing. Drinks are terrific. Like, all the staff are amazing. Like, they've been so good to us. And, like, you know, Live Music Thursdays, they started it a couple years ago. It's no mm-hmm. cover. You go in, listen to some tunes, support local music.
What time is it at usually? Is
7 p.m.
7? Nice.
Yeah, it's cool. You go there early, grab a bite. They're, God, their menu's money. So good.
Their menu's great. Have you eaten there?
I haven't eaten there.
It's fucking good stuff.
Yeah.
Whether
yeah.
you go, like, and that's the thing, it's a cafe, it's like a coffee shop.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't, like, they have a great breakfast. Like,
yeah, I haven't been there when, like, anything cool is going on, to be honest. But it's a cool spot, but I've never been there with, like, music and all that.
Just, you gotta check it out. Because, I mean, it's just,
I've been meaning to, for sure.
Yeah, like, they have a great breakfast, which a lot of these coffee shops and cafes have a great breakfast, whatever. But mm-hmm. their dinner menu and, like, after breakfast menu is
solid. Oh,
their butternut squash soup. How many times have we mentioned their butternut squash soup on this podcast?
I get it every time.
On our podcast, I should say. I mean, it's
always my side, no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, talk about that more often. But Live Music Thursdays, Vendome Cafe, 7 p.m. every Thursday, no cover. Get there.
Boom. I like that it starts early because my buddy Jamil hosts another one at Mikey's Juke Joint.
Yeah,
the Groove Theory. It's pretty sick. It's sweet. So he used to host it at Unicorn.
Okay.
But I don't even think that exists anymore. Or if it does, sorry.
Oh, it moved.
It moved.
Right? The Unicorn?
Maybe. I don't know, man.
ADAV?
It was on ADAV in the basement. Like
Moved. Now they have a bigger venue.
Oh, well.
I think. I guess they did have that basement. I haven't been inside the new venue, but I'm pretty sure it's two levels.
Okay.
By Flame Central.
That's the one, but I don't know. Anyway, the Groove Theory used to be there. Now it's at Mikey's Juke Joint in Santa Alta. Sick. Like, the thing I like about it, and it's a core, like, you know, not principle, but, like, it's a core reason that Jamil founded it, was because it's just, like, it's just a jam. It's just an open jam.
It's an open jam.
Yeah, but the musicians are legit. Like,
Like,
all the most legit musicians from different bands go and play together.
They go and jam.
Right? But there's usually, like, one sort of staple band that'll play, like, two half-hour sets or something.
Oh, okay.
Maybe near the start and near the end. But this thing goes, like, for, like, five hours, I think, sometimes. Like,
really?
Yeah. And they'll have, like, dudes playing the sax, like people slapping the the bongos, like whatever people decide to show, harmonica, like whatever people show up with, and then they just kind of jive and
someone
will take the lead, but it's so much fun.
I can get into that. Like, sometimes when you go see a live show, one of your favorite bands, sometimes the best parts are the jams.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when we went and saw the Chili Peppers in, like, 2000 and... what would that have been? 2006-ish? Jeez. Somewhere around there? Did you go to that one? Some of the best parts of that show I remember being their jams in between songs.
Yeah.
And then, like, even
for Shanti, we're just going off.
They were just going crazy. It was amazing. And then, like, even back in the day, like, you know, when you're jamming with the boys or whatever, sometimes you, like, have these moments.
Oh, yeah.
You're fucking around, and it sounds like shit. And then there's, like, all of a sudden this window of, like, a few minutes
where
everyone's in the zone.
Yeah.
And you're just, everyone's feeling each other.
So the cool part about this is, as a shitty musician myself as well, I've been in that spot where it's like, oh, 10% sweet window, 90% shit.
Yes.
It's like inversed.
Yeah.
It doesn't take these guys long to like figure it out and like come together. And yeah, it's just awesome.
Well, you know what? It's funny because I took a music course at SATE. It was like a digital audio course, whatever. And one of the classes was this live music or a live session like setup or whatever, sound checkup. And the teacher was like... yeah, if you got an instrument, bring it, whatever, and, you know, we'll set you guys up and we'll play. And I'm like, you know, I was like, yeah, I'll be in the back. I'll be the guy on the board, you know? Like, that's more where I fit in. And
oh, clap in the corner.
But there's some legit, there's some talented musicians. And, I mean, some guys played in bands. Some guys were just, like, casual players, whatever. And so I remember kind of standing at the board and being a diverse group. It wasn't like it was a bunch of, you know, guys that love jazz music or rock. It was like, a guy like this, guy like that, different ages, different genres and everything. And we're kind of at the board, and the teacher's kind of going over, you know, the levels and stuff, and we're kind of listening, and guys are setting up all their instruments, and all of a sudden they start, like, jamming. They just start playing. One guy's kind of leaving, he's just kind of playing this thing, and next thing you know, I bet you there was, like, six or seven of them, and they were all playing, and it sounded amazing. I mean, these guys are just, like I said, different walks of life, just talented musicians that knew how to play their instrument, and they were able to just kind of pick something up, like, super quick, and they just...
It's so impressive.
Play for, like, half
an hour. I feel like you do need to be a good musician if you're going to have, like, six, seven people. Like, if you're going to have a lot, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because it was... When you're not very good, which is the group I'm in, you know, the more people you start adding, the more difficult it gets.
Yeah, but then again... For a guy of my talents on the six string, the more people, the more you can just, like, pretend to play.
Yeah, that's true.
Get someone to take a video and be just like, holy shit, Mike's awesome. And just be like, not even
this sounds great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he's so good.
Yeah, when I went to Groove Theory the very first time, there was this dude. He's, like, he's called, like, Sweetberry Wine on Instagram. And I just assumed that was, like, the band that was up there, right? Because I know, I kind of knew the whole premise of the jam before I went, but not fully. So I just thought they were just, like, a random band. And then, no, I find out after the fact that, oh, it's, like, that dude who has played lots of shows solo. Then, like, the drummer from, like, Napoleon Skywalker.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know where the other people were from, but... I asked the drummer, because it turned out he was a friend of a friend, so I kind of started chatting him up and was, like, giving him, pumping his tires a bit, like, telling him how that was awesome. I was like, yeah, like, how long have you guys been a band? He's like, we're not a band, man. He's like, we've known each other for, like, 10 minutes. I was like, holy shit, that's unreal then. Like, that's when it really sunk in, and I was like, oh, this is even cooler than I thought.
Yeah.
So.
Some guys
are it's fun.
Good. And
it's
Mike's fun. Is a good place to go watch live music.
Yeah, it is.
That for a sec.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to go to the open mics all the time.
Yeah.
And there's some really talented musicians that would kind of be on the regular
The
regular lineup, and they would be really, really good.
And if you're not feeling the current act, you can just go play pool or throw some darts at the back or
I think
whatever.
It's three songs they play, and they're usually up and down pretty quick. And sometimes the jams are just... They're awesome. They're great.
Mm-hmm. What day is the open jam? Sorry if you
it's
said that.
Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, oh, conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. But the group...
Conflict of interest.
The Vendome, you could do both, right? If you're really into it, you could have a friggin' 5-6 hour night of music for free, because Mikey's is free as well. Like, jeez, just the value we're giving the listeners right now. It's absurd.
Yeah. Subscribe to this podcast. And
subscribe.
We'll get a Groupon.
Groupon for the subscription.
Groupon for your free subscription.
Yeah. Everything's free that we've mentioned so far, but we'll chuck it on Groupon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it seem more
legit. Cody will send you a headshot.
Yeah.
The Groupon.
Oh, God. But so Vendome is, it's just like a couple hours of music, right?
It usually wraps around like 8:15.
There you go. Yeah.
Like maybe 30 if it starts a little late, they do a longer set, but yeah, it ends pretty early.
Yeah, sometimes they put a break in between. Like the band is usually, if they have a lot of music they want to play and the crowd's there and into it, they'll go all night. I mean, well, I should say that.
Couple hours easy.
Couple hours, you know, but you know, we were hoping for at least an hour, hour and a half sets, and that's what we got from all our musicians. It ended around 8:30, and
nice.
It was awesome. Yeah.
See, and I'm on board with that as well, because you know, it's school night, right?
School night, man.
You gotta get home in bed, but at the same time, if you're feeling willing to stay out late on Thursday, it's only Friday the next day. Yeah. You're almost done. Groove Theory is pretty sick. They stay on until like 1. And yeah. I'm not even sure how early they start. I think I usually have gotten there around 9, 10.
Mm.
So, boom, bounce from one to the other.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So.
There we go. You hear Thursday nights accounted for.
Damn, Thursdays.
And it's the Local Love Podcast.
Boom.
You're welcome.
And music for life. life.
Whoa, yeah. Where'd that effect come from?
Edited it in there, buddy.
How have you been doing with your podcast, by the way? Like, this is awesome. You're into it now. And...
Yeah. Like I said, you guys inspired this in me.
Awesome.
I just had a good time when I was here with you guys last, and you made it seem very, you know, doable. So it's like, yeah, dude, we just literally have...
Yeah.
You're like, dude, we literally just
have
this mic.
So we just, like, hit record, and then we talk, and then stop
I'm like,
and put it on the internet.
That's, like, not that hard.
Yeah.
Do you edit? No.
No.
We don't edit.
No.
Okay.
Do you plan ahead?
No.
You're, like, looking at it, like, oh, you guys don't have any questions prepared or anything? No. What are you talking about?
Well,
whatever.
It's actually funny, because we love doing the podcast. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've had some guests. There hasn't really been anyone that I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know, but most of the episodes that we do, we just, there probably was, but most of them are just, like, really fun to do. Really fun just to talk about music or mental health or whatever we decide that day. And some people have come in, and I've been a little.
They want some more guidance, right? Is that what you're getting
at? Well, I won't name names, but some people have actually brought notes and paperwork and like full sheets of paper. And you know what? I respect that more than you know, because it's like you are prepared. You are prepared to do a really good job and like represent yourself and your company or your band or whatever.
Yeah. But it's
and then they show up and I'm like, I'm in like sweatpants and
oh, I see. Okay.
I'm like looking at shit like 5 minutes before they get there on the internet. Like, what can we talk about?
Yeah.
But it's not about, you know, hi, well, you know, we have a few advertisers, but it's not like, what did you do 5 minutes ago? It's like, no, let's just start a conversation and see where it goes, right? That's the whole, like...
I do like that. The only reason I brought it up today is because I've had a few people that literally, after the fact, were like, shit, I really wish we would have mentioned this, but we went on all these tangents, and they're like, I forgot, like, to mention, like, one... of the top three most important things I wanted to mention. So, like, the last few times I've done it, but they're not extensive whatsoever. And I also like to, like, boom, you mentioned a few names already. I've written them down.
Yeah.
You know, I like to have the notes going.
For sure.
But I'm definitely, like, more on the side of organic versus, like, you know, directed conversation by, like, for sure.
That's how I like to consume my information. Honestly, I get bored with... typical interviews.
Yeah.
If I see an interview that's like on regular cable,
something
like that, you know, like those celebrity interviews with your like ET.
Yeah, those are brutal.
Whatever. They're goddamn terrible. Those stupid canned questions that you know, asking. It's like that kind of an attitude.
Yeah, a couple
that
of mine
shit is
podcasts
so
have...
terrible.
Well. A couple of mine have teetered on that. Not intentionally, but like, I can only go like direct so much. And like, you know, there is that element of like promotion involved in this, right?
No, absolutely.
But
you're absolutely right. Like,
you got to
toe
that line correctly because
you do.
Dog shit.
Because the thing is when you ask those questions in that kind of way, like, hey, here we are on the Music for Life podcast.
What
do you got coming? Like, you end up getting those type of answers.
Yeah, it's true.
Which are just kind of, like, empty.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I planned this response. I'm glad you asked me.
Yeah.
If you really want to get to know somebody, it's more of a candid conversation.
Yeah, throw some
curveballs.
And
if I'm listening to somebody and I like them, and I think they say smart, interesting things without it being some canned response of, check out my tour and blah, blah, blah. Then if I like them, I'll check them out.
Yeah. Well, I
have the internet nowadays. You don't have to tell me. The show's today or Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Saddle Dome.
It's so
you can buy your tickets at. It's like everything's on the fucking internet.
Yeah.
Now, okay?
I can
like,
Google
if I'm into
two
you,
words.
You're talking about your music, I'm going to Google you. And you don't need to say, this is coming up, blah, blah, blah. Look, if you guys want to come out to a Music for Life show, you'll come out. You'll Google us. You'll find us. It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, exactly. I get bored by that. This is the new way of consuming. This is the new way of doing interviews. And I feel like you get to know people this way.
Yeah, totally.
Having a hockey background and stuff, I listen to a lot of like sports radio and I don't know if you do, Cody.
Yeah, it's totally.
Like, you know, I love when the players get interviewed.
It's brutal,
but they don't really say anything anymore.
It's working really hard out there.
All four lines are firing.
I can't even listen to it anymore.
It's kind of painful, but.
But, you know, they got to do it and whatever. But it'd be nice to hear one of these guys on an actual podcast just shooting the shit.
Yeah. The thing is, though, is they had the All-Star game this weekend, the NHL All-Star game. And they had a round table with Mario Lemieux, Mark Messier, Wayne Gretzky, Bobby Orr, and Ron McLean.
Wow.
So I wasn't sure what to expect. Again, I'm not a really big fan of listening to the guys saying, oh, we had a lot of
typical
fun.
Typical shit.
I don't know if it was the way Ron McLean was asking the questions or if it was just the guys sitting around the table, but these are some of the best players that ever played the game. Mm-hmm. And they're just telling stories. It was very casual. It was very like talking about telling stories and telling stories about All-Star games and kind of their past experiences. And it wasn't like, we passed the puck and then we shot the puck. Mm-hmm. They were just talking like they were having a conversation, and I loved it. I couldn't take my eyes off it because mm-hmm. I thought, here's some of the greatest players in the world just having a honest conversation and telling stories about, you know, the good old days. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, the funniest thing is that you hear these guys on doing these interviews, and there was an ex-NHL player who lived in Nelson, where my dad's from. Family friend, I would see him at all these weddings, and I would always be stuck at his table. I'd always gravitate there because I didn't matter what was going on, I loved sitting down with him and listening to his stories.
Yeah.
Those interviews that you hear, like, you're never going to get half of that. You're not going to get a quarter of what you could get by sitting down with somebody like that.
They're always just being politically correct.
Yeah, right? Totally. They don't want to get in trouble. They've
hockey players are the worst too, because they're the most well trained. They're the most obedient to the organizational culture. Like you said, the agents have a lot of influence. Like
totally.
Everything is they're robots essentially.
But, you sit down with a guy and get a real answer, and it was like, man, I could listen to this guy. And having a passion for hockey obviously mm-hmm. helped, but listen to his stories about traveling and mm-hmm. games that he played and some of his best moments and stuff. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate where the interviews have gone to, because questions are the same, interview answers are the same.
There's not a lot of personalities out there anymore.
No.
They just gotta just...
What'd you think of that first period? Well, we played hard and they played good too.
Yeah. We gotta get more shots on net, more pucks in deep, and maybe we'll win.
Maybe we'll win. And drink beer after, Like, I don't know. And I think that's, when we first had the idea for the podcast, like, it was more like we definitely wanted to stay away from that, And we,
mm-hmm.
I think there's always, we want to ask questions, but we want to ask them in a way where it's just a conversation. We're just kind of like we're doing now. We're just shooting the shit.
It comes up naturally.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure off air when I first met you guys kind of mentioned this, but it's very true toward my motivation of starting this podcast was literally just like, the opportunity / excuse to just meet really cool people and talk with them. And the whole listening side is kind of just a byproduct. It's just a really good excuse for me to meet all these cool, talented, different people in Calgary doing all sorts of different shit and getting their background. Yeah. Like, I've enjoyed it so much. And they take me seriously because I have a fucking microphone.
Because you
recorded
it.
You get shit out of it. Sometimes you give shit away. Like, everybody's winning. But it's just so funny because that's all you need, right? Like, they thought I was, one of them thought I was from CJ92.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, just, like, one person invited another into the room and stuff, and they're like, oh, like, so you're from CJ.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Oh, I would have played that up for sure.
It's like, not quite. I'm just CJ. Some dick with a
just
microphone.
Some guy.
But thanks for coming out. Sorry, I cut you.
No, I know. I was just going to echo what you're saying, man. That, like, I think we did mention that to you when you mm-hmm. first came a few months ago. The biggest part of it is being able to just hang out with people that are doing things that you're interested in. And mm-hmm. so, like, it doesn't... I mean, I think our plays are, like, decent enough where it's like, some people are listening and it's a good way for us to...
Yeah, it's worth... It's,
tell our story yeah. and have a message and reach some people. But, I mean, even if no one was listening, it would... podcasts didn't exist. It was 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so beneficial just to be able to sit, even if it was just over a coffee, mm-hmm. and just sit and have that same conversation you had to learn from that person or whatever... And just to get to know them. Because a lot of people, they're doing cool things in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sweet to meet them and just kind of get to know what
get to know them personally as well,
what
right?
they're doing and why they're doing it.
Motives, yeah.
Well, a lot of bands we reach out to as well, like it's through email,
mm-hmm.
right? Hey, we're throwing an event. You want to play this show or what? And they reply back, yep, no problem. Sounds good. We'll see you then. We've done that before where we meet the bands
yeah.
at the venue and it's like, it works. It's fine. But we've gotten into the habit now, especially with our podcast. Hey, look, you're playing a show of ours. Let's have you on the podcast.
It makes so much
promote
sense.
Some of your shit, and we'll get yeah. to know you, and we'll just yeah. have a conversation.
Yeah.
And the one that instantly comes to mind is Mitch Ballott. Like, here's this tall, handsome stud of a man.
Who's this? Mitch who?
Mitch Ballott. Ballott.
B-E-L-O-T.
Young guy. Like, I guess university age?
Definitely university, yeah.
Super talented guy.
Oh,
good,
dreamy.
Really good guy too.
But he walks in, he's he's committed to playing one of our shows, and again, a Music for Life concert, and he was playing the big event, and, never met him before. This was like, I listened to this guy live, I think he's awesome. Sure, I'm going to send him an email. Replies back, I'm in, this sounds great, love what you guys do, let's do it. So we invite him on the podcast. Never met him before, he shows up at the front door. And Steve and I have been friends a long time, it's pretty easy for us, it's whatever. Come on in, how are you doing, let's go upstairs. It was like instant, like, we're buddies with this guy,
he was good shit right away.
He was just phenomenal. We've had that on more than one experience. I'm just bringing Mitch up because it kind of went from like him being a stranger to yeah. us telling him how goddamn good looking he was and how much of a stud he is, I guess I was a little taken back too, because like his voice is like a rasp, not raspy, that's the wrong word. I don't know how you,
it's
like,
just booming.
Huge voice. And you look at him, you wouldn't expect it, right? Mm-hmm. And he walks in and you're just like, he's just a young guy with a booming voice. Great, come on in. Let's talk music. And right away we were talking about, what a stud and like what a great musician. Like it was just easy, right?
Well,
and then all of a sudden we're leaving and we're giving each other hugs and we're high fiving and stuff.
You
like,
probably grabbed his ass after
yeah,
the description
yeah, yeah,
of
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely, like, wanted to see his dick. So like. I mean, the thing is you become friends with people
mm-hmm. yeah.
through the podcast.
Yeah,
like,
that's good.
Like, to
that's...
what Mike was saying, like, they play your show and they don't do your podcast, they kind of show up.
Right.
And you're like, hey, nice to meet you when they walk in the door. And then at the end of the show, you're like, thanks for coming.
Yeah. It's all business.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And, like, maybe you see somebody on the street, you're like, fuck, they probably don't even recognize me.
Mm-hmm.
But when they, like, come into your house
mm-hmm.
and you have a beer with them
mm-hmm.
yeah. and you shoot the shit, they become your friends.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
awesome. Lunar Wild.
Yeah.
Like, I mean...
That was actually really funny.
I love those guys. Like, yeah. Unbelievable.
I'm happy, like, Dave did the live video, because I probably wouldn't have even ever come to this, to be honest with you, but I saw how much fun it was.
Yeah.
And if it was just an audio thing, then I maybe wouldn't have... I maybe would have never listened, to be honest with you.
Ah,
right? So, like...
That's interesting feedback.
Yeah. Because yeah. I think it was cool that he did that, so...
It was the first time we'd done the Facebook Live thing. And like I said, we've always talked about, we've talked about doing like a video where
mm-hmm.
Claudia did like the Periscope thing.
Periscope
was
that one time, yeah.
Shit.
It's super easy.
It is.
Well, that's the thing. Like we were saying, you could do the whole thing where you put it on YouTube and have another file and wait for people to consume it. Or I guess you could just do it live.
You could just do it live.
You could just do it like
that. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Right? Well, that's how easy
your,
it is.
Put your
nowadays,
iPhone
right?
on the like, closet and just
yeah.
turn the camera.
Touch
well,
the button.
The one I was, again, to go back to it, the one I was talking about does do it live, but then they also, you know, they upload it later, right?
And then they can, yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. So it's live, and it's cool because they actually have a chat going during it, right? So they're engaging with the audience.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I've heard, like, at times they'll have, like, 20,000 people watching and shit, the poker one that I was telling you about. But
that's
this guy fucking, like... I don't know, not many people are into poker, so you guys probably don't really follow it or anything, but he's got like all the biggest names on there somehow. He's just like, he's a decently known poker player himself, but I didn't actually know who he was before the podcast, but somehow he's managed to get like, this would be like me starting a hockey podcast, maybe tough to say because I'm not at his level in hockey, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's a professional
I was pretty
player.
Good at hockey, but I'm washed up now, and I was never even as good as he is at poker, I guess.
Yeah, right.
But so this would be like me just starting a hockey podcast and getting like Goudreau first day, like Johnny Goudreau and Sean Monahan are coming in. Like he literally has all of them, right? So that obviously helps.
yeah,
he's got a
credibility.
You know, profession being a poker player, but podcasts are a big thing now. Like, there's a ton of podcasts, and some of them, like we were talking about, some of the ones that you listen to, Steve, like a gajillion plays an episode. Like, there's sponsorships now, and
some
of them are big now, huge, right? Like, it's a new way of.
I'm only at half a gajillion per. I don't know about you guys, but
get to that gajillion.
Yeah, we get to a gajillion.
Yeah. You guys are
it's pretty sweet.
A couple gajillion.
Couple gajillions.
Yeah.
I saw mine with you guys only had half a kajil, though.
Promote
that a little more.
Shit, it's you, not us.
Yeah. I forgot to post it all over my Facebook and Instagram.
Oh,
right?
Shit,
so,
that's where the other half
that's
kajil
why.
Is from.
Maybe next time. This should get to at least a kajil.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A couple kajils.
Our fan base, I mean.
Yeah.
They're
going to know us, and
right.
of course. It's hard being such a successful podcast.
Host.
Like when
you
walk.
Right? Yeah, walking
pictures and autographs
right off.
Such bullshit.
Know? Girls are all over us.
Just want to have a conversation.
Just everywhere.
Podcast groupies are the worst. They're the hungriest.
They're so hungry. Oh man, those podcast girls got an appetite. Let me tell you.
They are tough to turn down though. Sometimes, man. Yikes.
I'm super glad we started this, though, because it's just a good way of, like you said, so many different things. Getting, building relationships, but also talking about some really, like, we've had some really interesting ones.
You guys have had
some
deep shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, having the mental health people on is nice because, you know, Mike and I basically just talk a lot of shit when it comes to the mental health stuff.
And we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, it's something that we care about. It's something we're passionate about, but we're just a couple of guys that don't know anything about anything. We don't have any background in that industry. And so to get people on here that are from, you know, the Canadian Mental Health Association, Center for Suicide Prevention, Calgary Counseling Center, Distress Center, whatever, and kind of talk about what they're doing. It's one of those things where the podcast has brought so much value because before we would go to these organizations and we basically just give them money, right? Here's a check.
Yeah.
You know, and we shake hands and they like us because we give them money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you have them on the podcast, you can dig a lot deeper on what they're actually doing and what their programs are and how they help people and what the challenges are that we need to overcome. Mm-hmm. And I love talking about the challenges because that's where I feel like we can contribute a little bit because it's like, we're not social workers, we're not counselors, we don't have any training in trauma or anything like that. We can't help when someone's in distress, but we can at least be a platform for people to have a conversation. And for them to say, this is a channel. Oh, shit, I didn't know that. Holy crap. It's probably a good thing that other people know that, too.
Yeah. But also talking about our organization and, like, reducing the stigma surrounding mental illness. Like, a lot of my understanding of the mental illness is what I saw in movies. Like, we've talked about this in our podcast before. And breaking that, like, misunderstanding has been huge for me just as my personal development, like bringing in people that have actually had schizophrenia who have been addicted to drugs and overcome that. Like, you, I mean, for me, like, before we started I Will Survive, I had this, this is what I thought anxiety was, this is what I thought depression was, this is what I thought, you know, schizophrenia was. And then you get somebody in on a podcast, having a conversation, again, nothing rehearsed, nothing scripted, just an honest conversation about what they've gone through and how they've managed, and it's like, it's completely changed the way I think. And again, it's reducing the stigma. Like, it's not, it's just such a different way of looking at a mental illness, right? Having somebody on here telling their story, getting the word out there, saying, hey, there's, you know, there's help. I mean, there's resources available in this city that you can get. And
yeah, that's kind of like that's kind of like the end game, right? You're exposing people to these, you're reducing the stigma across the board because they're real people with real stories. They're probably pretty interesting, even though maybe that's not the best way to frame it, but I'm sure they are. Like, they're super interesting. Dirty. And enlightening is kind of more what I was going for.
Yeah.
So, but then at the end, it's like, okay, you just rifled off all those, like, you know, organizations that are helping with these things. So, I mean, the resources are there, which is really sick part about, you know, Canada and Calgary. Like, we don't take this shit lightly at all.
Yeah.
Like, we understand
yeah,
the importance. So it's cool that we've got that going on, and you guys are doing a good, great job from what I can see of, you know, putting in your effort and bringing more and more awareness to it. And I've listened to that. Who is the one? You guys told me I should listen to it, and I did. And it's like got the most listens on your channel by far. It's like, what's his? I forget. It was like, maybe I'll have
One person? Two?
I think it was just, well, it was mostly one, but there might have been two guys on there.
Because was it Brad and Darcy?
Yeah. But Brad. The best. Brad, I remember.
So
yeah,
those guys.
That
are
was
the best.
Ridiculous. That was crazy.
I loved having those guys on too because
we need to have them
again.
Back
it's a stigma thing, right?
Yeah,
where it's like these guys had some serious addiction issues, very serious addiction issues. Like if anyone were to go back and listen to the Brian Darcy podcast, it was like these guys were doing so much drugs and committing so many crimes to fuel those drugs. It was constant getting shit. Like,
yeah.
Brad said he was arrested like 70 times or something.
You guys
were
just blown away.
Yeah. But like the thing that was, and that's why they're such good guests, because they tell amazing stories about the shit they used to get into.
And
but again, like it's one of those stigma things where it's like, for most people, if you were like, hey, you know, there was this guy that I know I went to high school with or whatever, and you listed off all of the things that the person did, right? The getting shot at, the drugs, the stealing, the armed robberies, all these things that you would think that guy's a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
That guy's a douchebag. Fuck that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then you meet these guys and you realize they're good people. They're really good people. They had some serious addiction issues.
Yeah.
Right? They did some shit that was bad. It was not good, and they'll be the first to admit that.
Yeah.
But like that was one of the things too that like kind of made me think about my cousin. My cousin Matt is the reason why we started this organization. Mm-hmm. We lost him to suicide about 4 years ago, and he was an alcoholic, and he did a lot of douchebag shit when he was drunk.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm sure there's people from his hometown. He wasn't from Calgary. I'm sure there's some people from their hometown that were like, that Matt guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Right? He's drinking all the time. He's drunk. He's doing all kinds of crazy shit. But I knew him as like the best guy ever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To me, that guy was like the guy. I loved that guy. And we sometimes will judge people based on their addiction or based on their mental illness.
Totally.
And it's like, and then the more you expose yourself to that stuff, you realize like these are real people. And they're good people deep down. There's just some shit going on in their lives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and that's the whole thing. Like, again, Francis Cheer talking about, he was a great episode about schizophrenia that we've had a few, I guess, on, but you know, again, you think of people a certain way, we give them a label. We give them a name. We give, okay, they have their, okay, this guy, he's, you know,
bipolar.
He's bipolar, and all bipolar people are like this. And there's like a paragraph that describes that person.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like before I Will Survive, I would think about people with mental health issues pretty much that you
just
you
label them categories.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And then you get guys like John Gerard. I mean, you know, Francis Cheer's name is John Gerard, and Brad and Darcy and other people that have come in and shared their stories, and it's like I've been thinking about these, I don't want to classify these people, but people mm-hmm. with struggles in their life completely wrong. I've been 100% inaccurate about every single thought that I've ever had
yeah.
about somebody dealing with a mental health issue, drug addiction, so many different things. We talk about, what's that doctor out west? Gabbermante. And his...
shout out, Gabber.
I mean, Steve introduced me to him, and I've kind of listened to him a little bit. But his kind of research, I guess, on drug addiction is incredible. And it's a whole new perspective of how I think about it now. I mean, it's unbelievable. I highly recommend checking him out. We could do a whole episode on just my thoughts on drug addiction alone. But
who's this? You said out west, and what's the full on name?
Gabbermate. I think his name is Gabbermate. He's actually a guy that's out of Vancouver.
Okay.
So he sort of is like a leading progressive in how to treat addictions.
Okay.
And he's from Vancouver. He's in Canada, and that's where he's doing his research, is out of one of the universities.
But he's like world renowned.
He's known around the world for his, like, you know, again, quote unquote
progressive yes.
kind of views
right.
on addiction.
Right.
Another good guy to check out is Dr. Carl Hart.
Mm-hmm. Like spelled like the heart? Or
yeah, Hart actually is how he spells his name.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, these guys, man, just listening to, you know, some of the stuff that they're doing. As well as some of the things that are going on in the mental health industry.
Did you guys?
I've changed my view, and I believe all drugs should be legal. Just in the last like couple years, like learning stuff from Dr. Carl Hart, Gabbermate.
That's bold.
I think all drugs should be legal. Did you know this alcohol that we're drinking, this beer?
Yeah.
Alcohol is the only drug. That if you're an alcoholic, say you're addicted to cocaine, mm-hmm. you're addicted to heroin, whatever. Alcohol is the only drug that the physical withdrawals can kill you. So if you come off heroin, you're not going to die. But the physical withdrawals to alcohol can give you cardiac arrest or make you have a seizure so that you die.
Jeez.
So basically... That's how they would measure physical addiction, because of the withdrawals that you feel
okay.
when you're coming off of the drug.
Right.
So arguably, again, I'm not an expert in that. I don't know shit. I'm just a little bit of research that I've done.
Yeah.
So please tell me I'm wrong if you know.
Right.
But arguably, alcohol is the most physically addictive drug on the market.
Okay.
But that's the socially acceptable one. So what really these guys have done... has made me challenge the way I think about drugs.
Right.
So, for instance, this is where I can relate it to my own personal experience now. What do you think of when you think of someone coming off of heroin? You think of those movies that you saw probably, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, the guy was coming off heroin,
yeah.
and he's laying in the bed, and it's like this most terrible thing that's ever happened to him, because
mm-hmm.
he's coming off heroin, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of when you think of an alcoholic quitting drinking? Do you think the same thing?
I don't.
No.
So for me, when my cousin quit drinking, he quit cold turkey. He gives me a call. We have this super deep conversation. It was a big moment in his life. He needed to quit drinking long, long before that.
Mm-hmm.
He quits cold turkey. So at the time, I'm not thinking to myself, Matt, dude, you should be careful, man. Like, you don't want to quit drinking cold turkey,
right?
Potentially have a heart attack, potentially have a seizure, you could die.
And even if you don't get to those levels, it's overwhelming.
When we think about heroin, cocaine, meth, we think, oh my God, we got to get these people in detox. We need to. But with alcohol, it's like we look at it differently because of this different social understanding and acceptance of the drugs. So now, when you think about it that way, when you really get a different perspective on what these drugs are doing to you, the chemistry and the biology of them, and then you start thinking, okay, well, if my cousin's addicted to alcohol, it's still bad. His addiction is just as bad as being addicted to heroin. His addiction is just as bad as being addicted to cocaine, but it's not illegal.
Okay,
it's not illegal.
I wanna.
So, like, let me just finish my thought here.
Okay.
My cousin gets caught drinking. He's not driving, he's drinking. Maybe he's had too much to drink. Okay, maybe they're going to throw him in the drunk tank. Right? He gets caught with a 24-pack in his back of his truck when he gets pulled over. He's not drunk, but there's a 24-pack in there. Ah, yeah, you got a 24-pack. Great, he goes home, he hangs out with his family. Whereas someone who's addicted to heroin or cocaine, nobody wants to be addicted to heroin or cocaine, just like my cousin and everybody else doesn't want to be addicted to alcohol.
Yeah.
But if you get pulled over by a cop and you've got some heroin on you, well, maybe you're going to get a...
Yeah, you're going
to
be...
You're going to get a criminal record. Now, now we're going back to the argument of...
I see where you're getting at.
These people, it being illegal for these people. So, okay, yeah, he's not. I'm not talking about the drug dealers that are selling kilos. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about that drug dealer who gets caught with his eight ball or whatever.
Right.
Now, a person who is addicted to drugs also has a criminal record. So even if that person gets clean, he still has a criminal record.
Okay.
So to me, it's like, well, why are we doing this to these people who potentially even have a mental illness? So most people.
So you're just sewering them further and further.
Well, exactly.
You're making it even more of an uphill climb.
You're making it more of an uphill climb for somebody that's got an addiction. They're not like nobody's like, ah, fuck, heroin's great. I'm glad I'm addicted. Everyone sucks. I shouldn't say everyone. Maybe some people are like, yeah, I love it. But for most people, they're like, so the other thing is they say that the majority of people that have addictions have a mental illness. That's what they say. I don't know what the exact stat is, but I know it's the majority. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's true, maybe that isn't. But let's say it is for argument's sake. If someone has a mental illness that is associated with their addiction, and then we then make that illegal and give them a criminal record, in a sense, what we're really doing is discriminating against people with mental illnesses.
Right.
Do you know, see what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
So if we're in this, if I'm going to talk shit, if I'm going to go out there and, you know, we're going to public speak, we're going to have podcasts, we're going to talk about ending the stigma and the taboo and treating other illness, I got to practice what I preach. And so I've totally changed my thinking on this. To me, if you have a mental illness that is causing you to do a drug and become addicted, and then we're making that illegal, we're making it illegal to have a mental illness.
Okay. Yeah, I can definitely follow that. Shit, I had like a million things pop into my head while you're going off there.
I know. Some people look at me like you're crazy.
I like, can see.
What the fuck are you talking about? We should make cocaine
you did
illegal?
That. You really followed that thought very well. I gotta say that first and foremost. You like tied everything together. It's fucking well put. So the first thing I was gonna say is, so I'm not gonna play devil's advocate, but I'm gonna challenge a couple things.
Oh, please.
So
yeah. It's a very like complicated thing.
Yeah,
right?
100%. So the first one would be the alcohol versus these other drugs. So alcohol, and I don't know if we're gonna have all the answers. Probably not. But
probably not.
Alcohol is the only one that you can physically die from.
That's
coming down. Coming down. What about on the way up?
On the way up?
Yeah. So you do a drug.
People die from alcohol all
right.
the time.
Agreed. But then what about these other drugs? Same thing.
Well,
you can definitely OD on
that we'd have to Google. We'd have to Google that.
People are.
But
like Michael said,
the interesting thing is that most people that overdose from an opiate are also drinking alcohol. They also have alcohol
makes
in their
sense.
System.
right? Mm-hmm. So it's tough to
that's interesting, right?
Well, it's not like a surprise.
One's legal, the other one's not. It's an opiate overdose. So, here's what I can say to that sort of thought about on the up. Okay, mm-hmm. So heroin and morphine are the exact same thing.
Okay.
So that's where I'm going with, okay, what is heroin to you, right? On the up. So what do we most of us learn in school about heroin? If you do heroin, you're fucked.
That's
you
know what I'm saying? The worst,
if
basically.
You do heroin, yeah. You're addicted to heroin.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
you
done.
Do it once you're fucking done. Yeah.
So have you ever had a surgery? How many people have gone in and had a surgery or been to the hospital and they had to take morphine?
Yeah, lots.
Lots,
I
right?
Haven't, but.
So you know, the history of morphine is it's a product created by Bayer, the drug company Bayer. So when morphine first came out, it was like this amazing thing, like holy shit, morphine's the best painkiller ever. And so Bayer came out with their version of morphine, which was just a brand, and it was heroin, excuse me. Yeah. So
over-the-counter heroin.
It's heroin.
When was
So morphine is heroin. So how many people I'll just speak from my own anecdotal experience. When I went in for knee surgeries, they put me on morphine, aka heroin.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't become addicted. I wasn't oh my god, this I actually didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I can't wait to get off this. I even went off early. And then they give you morphine in the pill form. They give you an opiate. They give you a Percocet or something like that.
Right.
It's like you can smoke marijuana, you can vaporize marijuana, or you can eat marijuana. You're just eating heroin
right. When
you eat an opiate. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I didn't even take them. I didn't even finish my prescription. I just dealt with the pain because I didn't like it the way that it made me feel.
Right.
So again, just going off of that, what does the drug do to you on the up? Probably not what you think. Do you know what I'm saying? Most people's mindset on what heroin does is might not actually be what we think it is. Just like some people can have a couple drinks and not become an alcoholic, some people can do morphine and not become
totally
a heroin addict.
What I was getting at, and I'm going to preface this by saying that I'm totally in agreement with you that I think we totally underestimate alcohol, and it's way more socially acceptable to just get blackout than it probably should be.
Oh, yeah.
100%. And I can be guilty of that for sure at times.
Me too.
But the reason I started where I did, it was the first kind of challenge I had in my head, was so you're saying you try to categorize, or you're challenging to categorize alcohol in the same category as heroin, cocaine, all that stuff, right?
Maybe not the same, but at least to put into perspective what it is compared to.
Because
the other
first
drugs.
Thing you said, the way you started it was you think all drugs should be legal.
Yes.
Which was pretty interesting.
So people think it's intense when they say that.
I don't
I've been
mind
thinking
it.
About this for a couple of years, so to me it's kind of normal now, but
I'm more on the progressive side and myself and open minded. So I was I'm a little bit intrigued by it. Happy that you said it almost just because I knew it was going to start a cool conversation.
Yeah.
But so the alcohol, so it's the only thing that you're going to die from, say, the next day. But how many more times are people dying from other more harmful drugs on the way up the night of, right? And I get that you're saying that they're being used in combination.
Yeah.
But that was just kind of the start of how you started your whole point,
yeah.
Right?
Okay, so I will say this to that, kind of the it killing people,
mm-hmm.
overdosing, stuff like that, right? So it's my understanding that some people want to overdose. They
right.
take a large amount of drugs because it's suicide, basically, right?
Right.
They want to end their own lives. Other times, they just want to party.
Yeah.
We want to have a good time.
Yeah.
We want to do some heroin tonight, and it's going to be awesome. And then they die. And they all have an overdose. And again, the majority of the time, they're also including alcohol in that. But
right.
let's pretend that's separate. where was I going with this? Heroin overdose, right? So if you overdose on heroin, but you didn't want to overdose on heroin, oftentimes what it is the dosage. You took too much heroin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you died. You took too much, just like you'll die if you drink too much alcohol.
Right.
If it was legal, you would know the dosage. When you buy drugs off the street, you don't know how much heroin you're taking. You have no idea how potent it is. You really don't know what your dose is. When you go to the doctor, how many people die from their morphine drip? How many people are overdosing in the hospital from morphine? Mm-hmm. Never, I'm sure it does, but I've never heard of that happening.
Basically never.
Because the doctor knows how much heroin they're giving you.
Yeah.
Just like you know how much alcohol is in here, right? It's like, oh shit, this beer is 5%. I'm going to drink, I can drink a few of these before I overdose. If it was moonshine, maybe it's 90%. You don't know how much alcohol is in there. You could die from the alcohol just because you don't know the dosage.
I think where you're going, and I'm not going to speak for you here, but I think the real question that we've talked about before is the drug the problem or is it something else?
Which takes it back to that original point. It's like, okay, if it's illegal and we make it illegal and we arrest people for selling and doing these drugs, what are we solving?
I like the core tenet sort of your whole point, which is that the link between drugs and mental health. How much do you know about the whole, not that it really matters in the sense of how it should be enforced, but what about the chicken and egg scenario where they did too many drugs and that's what gave them mental health issues? Is that a thing?
Yeah. So
it doesn't matter for enforcement, right? It doesn't matter. If they have mental health issues, then I'm on your side. Like, we're just making it so much harder, right? Like, there's
you stop somebody with heroin, you throw them in a jail cell.
Yeah.
Isolate them from anybody. They're by themselves. It's not how you treat somebody with addiction.
Yeah.
It can't be.
I agree.
Well, and I think one of the things I would say to that, too, is it's like, okay, you did a bunch of drugs, and it fucked you up. And you made a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
That was your choice, not mine. You fucked up.
Yeah.
And I think what would be better is if we said, okay, we're going to make drugs legal. We're going to regulate it however we regulate it. You're going to be able to get access through XYZ. And, this is how we're going to distribute it, whatever. If that is the case, what we're also going to do is get money from taxes. We're going to tax you on your drugs.
Yeah.
And then what that tax money can go into is prevention, number one, to prevent you making that bad decision and getting into that shitty position where now you're fucked up. Or we're going to have money through tax revenues to take care of you now because you're fucked up. When people buy cigarettes, people that smoke are probably going to get cancer. Mm-hmm. People that smoke cigarettes, not looking good.
Right.
As far as lung cancer, heart disease, stroke.
That's why there's taxes on
it. But do whatever the fuck you want. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to pay your hospital bill through the taxes of your cigarettes. So whatever, right?
I guess, yeah.
And so to me, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, well, okay, now this person's fucked up and we need to take care of them. But we need to use public funding to take care of them. Who has all the money from the drugs? Criminals. The drug dealers.
Yeah.
Right? That's another big part of it.
Yeah.
Drug dealers and crime, bad.
Right.
If you take away their revenue stream from regulating the drugs,
right,
then they less don't have revenue streams anymore. Yeah. And less revenue streams, less all the other shit that they're fucking around
comes
with.
Along with crime, yeah. Yeah, that's a good argument, for sure. What about the argument that I don't know what. Okay, actually, let me start with this way. I believe there are countries that have drugs are legal. Is that correct? It's like some European country.
There's one in, I think it's like one of the Nordic countries that does,
I think
Switzerland or something maybe, that does, like your, what do you call them? Like your safe use heroin houses things. And then it's South American company that
Portugal.
South American, yeah.
Portugal.
Oh, it's Portugal. Okay. Portugal, yeah. made it.
They were the first one in 2001, which became all criminal penalties for personal possession of drugs, including marijuana, cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamines. They were completely decriminalized. And I feel like
I
I've seen studies of how... Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. And so, like, I'm definitely not saying you don't have a point here.
I think the... Like, from my perspective, I haven't done as much research as Steve has done. The problem is that we criminalize these people who do drugs. And that's the thing, is that they've decriminalized it. Rather than make them a criminal, why don't we offer them, and like Steve said, with the public money and stuff that you would get from this stuff, like why wouldn't you send them to like somewhere where they could get help?
Mm-hmm.
You're treating these people like criminals, and I mean it's just like you're I don't know what the right way to say it is, but you're making this person out to be a criminal because they're addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
But again, is the drug the problem, or is there something else going on that we should be doing as a society to help these people?
Right. So what you're talking about is the core issue. You're talking about what is the core
100%.
Problem.
100%.
You're not talking, oh, these drugs are bad, let's get them. You're saying, why are they doing drugs? Why?
It's not that the
and
drugs
so,
are bad. The drugs are bad. But
yes,
it's like, what is causing these people to
take
the drugs?
And what I'm saying, my argument is that why people are doing the drugs, it's a public health issue. Right?
Yeah.
That's why. It's a public... So why isn't it then in our public health system? That's my argument, right? Okay, if we know that a lot of these people have addiction challenges, potentially mental health issues, that seems like public health to me, not... What would you call the other one? Not...
But it's...
Not crime.
Yeah.
Criminal law.
Yeah.
But it again goes back to, like, mental health not being treated the same as other illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you break your arm, you're going to go get a cast. If you got mental health challenges that you deal with, sometimes it's not that easy.
It's not as black and white.
It's not
sure.
as black and white. And are you going to go to the hospital and get a cast? Is it that easy? And you're solved.
There's
still a lot we need to learn about mental health, though. Right?
And you know what? And this isn't even mentioning in this whole argument how goddamn silly... How they decide which drugs are legal and which ones are illegal.
Oh, yeah. No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Well,
because again,
we're
saying heroin's illegal, but then we're saying heroin's illegal, but then we're saying it's okay to take painkillers that are opiates I think that's the leading overdose drug. The leading drug for people to overdose on is these painkillers, which. I don't know how often they're illegally
you can get little bits of meth but from the government already if you have ADD, ADHD.
Oh, really? Okay, okay.
Well, essentially, I mean, like Adderall and like those types of drugs, which
if you're wearing a suit and you're running pharma business XYZ and you're selling drugs, you're cool.
Mm-hmm.
Old white guy, suit, making billions of dollars, perfect. But if you're some black guy in the ghetto selling basically the exact same drug, then it's...
You're a criminal.
It's the whole thing is just silly, right?
I think there's a lot more research that has to get done as far as like addiction studies, mental health studies, where it pertains to drugs.
Yeah,
because there was something on like...
Again, let's do more research. Okay, perfect. Let's tax it. Let's take that money and put it into the research.
Well, there's something online. It's pissing me off because I've been thinking about it for the last 10 minutes and I can't remember where I saw it or who was doing it. But there was an event or I don't know how it was posted on Facebook, but there was this thing where you could get clean needles. There was a company or I fucking can't remember. It's pissing me off. But anyways, there was this thing where you could go and get clean needles.
Right.
Is that wrong?
For some people, it is, though. Do you know
what
I'm saying?
It's not, but it's like, these people are going to do it regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so why not give them something that you know at least it's not going to make things worse? You're gonna give them a clean alternative to doing it.
Which brings me back to my argument. Okay, here's your clean needle. Well, why the hell wouldn't we take it one step further and make sure we're also giving them clean drugs?
Yeah,
and that's another
right. Question. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
What is it? Fentanyl, which is the big one right now.
Yeah,
fentanyl.
That's dirty as shit, and everyone's taking
cocaine,
it.
And everyone's dying.
I'm pretty sure the fentanyl thing is a dosage issue. That's what I think it is. Like, again, yeah. I'm not the expert in this, but I'm as far as I can tell.
Well,
fentanyl is they always show those like diagrams. Yeah. Like, this is how much fentanyl you need to take. This is how much heroin you need to take. It's people are dying because they're overdosing. They're taking too much fentanyl.
Yeah.
Again,
but
if it was
isn't
legal,
fentanyl the shitty like additive in like cocaine? Isn't that what it is, or is that its own drug?
I
fentanyl
really know,
started
but...
as a pharmaceutical. What do they call those drugs when they're made in the lab? That's where fentanyl originated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I thought
fentanyl
it was...
originated in some doctor invented something.
Poor additive to drugs, which I never understood, because if you are a supplier and you're selling drugs, why would you want your client or customer base to die?
No, yeah. But so again, I'm pretty sure it's like on the street, you don't know what the fuck you're getting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
totally.
You
get, but
dosage,
you don't know what the fuck you're getting.
But even if you're the first, even if you're the highest guy, right? Say, like, I've got my coke lab in wherever I am. Why would I chuck shit in there? Okay, so maybe I don't, right?
Maybe
but then,
he doesn't.
No, but then, so whoever does, like, why are you doing it? It makes, like...
For money.
There's gotta be, yeah.
Probably to fuel their own addiction.
Yeah, but, like, the point is, okay, there's pure cocaine, right? It goes through, like, six different fucking dealers.
Yeah.
Which dickhead decides it's a good idea to throw this deadly substance in there and then just ruin the supply chain?
Oh, I don't think that happens that way.
Well, that's what
I
thought.
I don't know. You might be right.
I don't know.
But I think it's like just some guy in his basement.
Yeah, this
making up some concoction on the internet.
Right.
So that's what I think it
is. And I don't really think, you know, I understand
again,
your point.
How's he going to get customers?
Are guys doing it on purpose or... Are they just not fucking professionals? They don't know what the fuck.
Somebody is, because it's got to just get in there at some point. So someone in that supply chain is like, boom, that's why, like, I'm gonna put that in there.
But is that guy doing it on purpose?
Well, he must know what else. Like,
I think that is part of it, though. Is just like incompetence.
Yeah,
maybe.
Like again, if it's legal, there's some fucking chemistry guy in a lab with a coat on and some beakers making. You know, if it's just some guy with his fucking pot making something in his basement, I think that's what's going on. He probably doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Shit.
Yeah.
I guarantee there's like people listening to this that just want to chime in so hard right now.
Yeah, it's one of those topics.
Here's something that's not equivalent to it, but I was sitting down at a table. I used to work with a guy from Oklahoma, and guns are legal in Oklahoma. And a guy from Toronto, actually from one of our sister companies, he was in town. We were all having dinner together, and somehow the topic of guns came up.
Yeah.
So in Canada, we're like, guns are bad, right? In Oklahoma, everybody has a gun.
Right.
So my buddy Jay says, guns should be legal. Do you know why? In Oklahoma, crime was horrible.
Right.
Yeah.
People were getting robbed all the time. Stores were getting robbed. Crime was like, whatever. They made guns legal. Guess what happened to crime?
Went down.
You know why?
Because
if I know you got a gun, or if I know you're a store owner and you got a shotgun behind your desk, guess what? I ain't fucking with you.
That's just one case, though. I don't know if I buy that one, man.
Like, I actually have heard other
that's
places
another conversation,
like, make your conceal and carry illegal, crime goes up. Because the criminals are like, oh shit, these guys can't carry their own guns anymore.
Right.
Let's get them.
Shit. I don't know. When you look at it on the aggregate, though, like, who's doing the worst in this category? America, by far.
Yeah, but
America,
I think
by
the thing
fucking
is,
far.
The thing is, though, if something is quote-unquote illegal, the people that want to get their hands on that stuff, they're going to get their hands on that stuff. If we make it more easily accessible, what's going to happen? I guess you don't really know. But is it the gun that, again, the guns that are the problem? Mm-hmm. Or is there something else that's the problem, right? That is a conversation that I really have done little research in.
Yeah, it was just I don't like, know much about that either.
Those guys had a conversation that night, and it kind of reminds me of this, because it's like, we have this thing where drugs are bad, guns are bad, illegal.
Drugs are bad, except for the ones I do. Those are good.
Drugs are bad.
But realistically, like, if somebody wants to do heroin, they're going to do heroin.
And you know, here's another...
If it's legal, am I going to go to the store and get heroin?
Well...
No.
No. Well, no, me neither.
But, do you think the... I don't know. Maybe more people would.
Maybe more people would.
And you know what? My argument would be, maybe that's not such a bad thing. Like, okay...
But they won't
apparently,
die from it, right?
The statistics on cocaine, I don't remember them. Someone has to Google this for me. But apparently the statistics on cocaine, there's a lot of people out there that just, like, do cocaine every once in a while on the weekends.
Right.
And it's not a big deal. They're partying. They're having fun.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can go get shit-faced drunk. Hey, man, maybe Buddy wants to do a line of coke. Hey, who am I to say he can't have a little fun on the weekend? He shows up on work on Monday, killing the game. He's mm-hmm. the man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's not as bad as we think.
But if the goal, I don't know, isn't the goal to create less addicts, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The goal is to create less addicts. And all I'm saying is...
it's more accessible, then how does that accomplish
that? But again, same with alcohol. Like, there's a ton of alcoholics out there. Super accessible. Some people don't become alcoholics. Some people do.
But
we gotta
we're making it more socially acceptable by making it legal. Is that not potentially just going to create... Okay, so, like, we're saying, okay, it's fine to go get blackout drunk, right? Right now, like, you can have... alcohol is legal. You can go have at her. If coke becomes the same way, it's like... I don't worry about weed. Because weed... like, that is the least of my worries for people to get addicted to. Have at her. But, like, yes. If you're going to, like, go get addicted to coke, like, that in itself, I could see that creating mental health problems and becoming a fucking vicious circle.
Right, but...
that maybe you wouldn't have started because it's illegal right
now. So what the best thing for people to make decisions is through education. So going back to your marijuana thing...
Mm-hmm.
The reason why people thought marijuana was bad for so long was because they were uneducated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a propaganda machine by the war on drugs or whatever, right?
Right.
But now, more and more people are accepting of marijuana because of all the research that's been done. And you get your education on it and you realize, oh, fuck, it's not so bad. I'm going to smoke a joint today, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So people could make more educated decisions based on what they know about the drug. I find we've learned so much more about alcohol that more and more people are going, you know what? I should probably lay off the booze a little. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what happened with cigarettes when we started taxing the shit out of it in like the 90s or whatever it was? What happened?
It definitely went down.
Remember all that fucking education that came out about alcohol? Cigarettes, sorry?
Mm-hmm.
People are like, shit, I should not smoke. It's terrible for you.
Yeah.
That education, people were able to make better decisions about smoking cigarettes. Right. The same thing's happening with sugar right now.
Yeah.
Arguably, sugar should be illegal. That's a good point. You know what I mean? If heroin and cocaine, a refined sugar. 1 in 11 Americans have diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
10% of Americans have diabetes.
Yeah,
they're dying from their addiction to sugar. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe they're not fucked up and they're not psychoactive and it's not like they're hallucinating and they can still go to work and eat cookies for lunch, but they have diabetes, they have serious obesity. But what are we doing with sugar? We're educating people now. Oh, that low-fat diet everyone was talking about in the 90s, bad idea. The amount of sugar you're consuming, you should probably lower it. They say 25 grams for women, like 30 or 35 grams for men. Then you can start making decisions based on the education. It doesn't have to be illegal. We don't have to make Big Macs illegal. Mm-hmm. We don't have to make 5-cent candies, you know, against the law. We're going to send you to jail or fine you. We just have to educate people. And if people know, hey, you know what? Cocaine, not good for you. Cocaine, bad. Hey, if you do it on the weekend,
but
at the party
not
at the bar, like, and you're hanging out with your buddies and you have a good time, that's cool.
Right.
So that's what I think. I think people will make good decisions based on public knowledge versus, oh, we just make something illegal because it's bad.
Anytime you're, you know, going to hype and promote education as the core argument, I'm all for it. Because I think you look at the United States and how fucked it is down there right now, I think the education system is totally the thing to blame, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
So anytime you are able to actually teach people that they fully understand the, you know, the harm in a drug or the harm in a particular way of thinking or leading, or, you know, education is a great place to start. I agree. And when you made the point about the sugar, I think that's a great one, because I love, like, pop, right?
Yeah.
Sucks. I love it, though.
Right.
And I don't want to. And now I'm even at the point, it's like the culture and the society has gotten to the point around health that literally I'm actually like, if I get a can of Coke, I almost feel like a little socially like wrong.
Oh yeah, totally.
Right?
Yeah. People
it's like
judge you if you eat a chocolate bar.
Yeah. And if you're around the wrong,
I love chocolate bars.
If you're around a certain type of person, it's worse, or a certain crew, it's worse than others for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, if I'm just like randomly the guy with like the cola, whereas like everybody else at the office is drinking water, it's like, shh, like, fuck, I'm like a little crackhead over here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
But that's,
so
what,
I think
that's created by, like, look.
So I think that's a good point.
These examples, it's like, societies and cultures will regulate themselves. Markets will regulate themselves. Like, that's sort of like a North American, you know, definitely American, like, capitalist attitude that a lot of people will tend to agree with. And I think it's the same with whatever, cigarettes, alcohol, marijuana, sugar, whatever you want to call it. With
so
the right education, people will make the decisions, and the markets will regulate, and the people and the societies can regulate themselves. We don't have to send people to jail.
It's an interesting approach, because you want to decriminalize drugs, but at the same time, you know, throw out there that they're actually really like bad. Like educate.
Oh, yeah.
You want to educate even more so, but take off the penalties associated.
Yeah.
And I can see the argument around like the economic benefits,
right,
and all
so
that.
So if you're
so
going
like
to create that sort of education and awareness,
mm-hmm,
get your funding from the drugs.
Right.
Get your revenues from the drugs.
Right. It just feeds itself.
And then exactly, it can feed
and
itself.
Then, so
and
you're,
same thing with cigarettes, right?
And
we,
you're totally,
we pumped back out all that education and awareness with people on cigarettes,
mm-hmm,
and what happened? Less and less people are smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, I think.
And now we know lots about sugar. You can get a salad from McDonald's now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like more and more healthier choices
it's
are going
to
start coming now that we know more about sugar.
One of the cartoons my daughter listens or watches on TV or whatever, there's actually like a 5-minute little clip about, it actually shows a pile of sugar in front of different things. So it shows a can of cola, it shows a can of juice, it shows
right
a box of Smarties, it shows everything. And it actually shows the amount of sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember seeing it on TV, and I'm just like, holy shit, like, that's great. Like, they're showing, they're putting it into perspective. Like,
yeah,
I don't know,
absurd.
What does 30 grams of sugar mean?
It's a
I don't
lot.
Know
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I have zero, I don't, I can't put it to my mind. How much is that? How much is that? Put
yeah
it in my hand.
Yeah.
How much 30 grams is.
That's
good. But then they show it on TV, and it's like, okay, there's a pile of sugar. Oh, the sugar cube ad, where they show you how many sugar cubes are in something. I mean,
mm-hmm,
hey.
It's
I
effective
like O. Henry's.
It's
you know
effective
what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I'm not, you know, I know
yeah,
it's
yeah,
bad
yeah,
for
yeah
you.
And again,
I
think that's
cheeseburgers
a good
are bad
message for anything. Is it's like, it's okay to eat sugar.
Yeah.
You probably don't want to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're consuming, like, some kind of a candy,
mm-hmm,
or pop, like, if you're consuming large amounts of refined sugar every day, you probably don't want to. But it's okay to have some candy on the weekend or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And
I think a very important point of all this is that your motivation to not do these terrible things has to come from within. It can't be like, if whether if something's illegal or not, you're
totally,
you're gonna, like, if you really want it, you're gonna get it. So why
well,
put all this huge damper on these things that, you know, are bad for you? But instead, why not, you know, don't penalize the people that have the self-control and have the ability to, you know, enjoy these things, you know, with balance in their lives.
And maybe,
and then on the flip side, that can help the people that are maybe addicted, right?
We can help them.
You can help them with resources and, you know, other strategies.
So. Well, maybe more money should be put into addiction recovery facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was watching something. I haven't had a long week.
But memory.
There was something on TV where, or an ad or something, where this girl was on a thing, and she was like, "I had to wait on a waiting list to get into a drug rehab center for like 90 days."
Yeah, how effective is that?
Like, what the fuck? Like,
well, go look into the Fresh Start Recovery Center.
Absolutely.
Okay, these guys are some guys doing some really good stuff here in town, and
so I'm saying the money should be put into these
their addictions. And hey, you know what? Fresh Start Recovery Center has like a fucking, it's like a 90 some day waiting list or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And when you're on the waiting list, you have to call every day to stay on the waiting list.
Oh my
like
God.
There's so much demand to get into the thing.
This
like,
is in Calgary.
You can't just be on the waiting list. You have to call every day because they need to know you're committed. Otherwise, they'll give someone else your spot.
These are people that want help.
So yeah, let me finish my thought here. Like, we could put more money into places like this Fresh Start Recovery Center if we had the funding for it. But guess who has the funding instead? Criminals.
Yeah.
Drug dealers. Criminals have the funding instead. What is the point of that?
It is interesting.
Right? Fresh Start Recovery Center's doors are bursting at the seams. They have a huge wait list. They do awesome things that help people. We could expand programs like that with that revenue.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And like those are people that want to get help, but they have to wait 3 months in order to get it. So,
and they have to call every day. So basically,
what's the real problem, really?
What is happening is you could potentially be a drug addict. You're on the waiting list to get into Fresh Start Recovery Center. You want nothing but to get help and to get off drugs, and you die of an overdose while you're waiting.
Yeah, that's a scary thought for sure.
You know what? I wish there was more places like that, because you know, when you talk about these success rates and Calgary Drug Court, which Brad and Darcy were in, you know, it's all about preaching the message of hope that, you know, this isn't how it has to be. You can get better. And when Brad and Darcy talk about it, it's fucking beautiful. How they talk about hope on the podcast. Like,
that was the only thing that got them through some...
Brad says he hopped off the bus. He was going to go to this thing.
Sorry, Bryce.
Brad was already planning his, like, next high. Like, he was already planning on fucking ditching the place. He just got him out of jail or whatever.
Yeah.
And he saw his buddy and how good his buddy was doing. And, it gave him a little bit of hope that he could be like his buddy.
Yeah.
Darcy gets off the bus a month later, whatever, sees Brad.
Yeah.
Oh. Darcy's thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Brad's
I'm ditching this fucking place because screw it, I'm getting my next high.
Mm-hmm.
He sees Brad and he's like, wow, Brad looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's hope, and that's the message that has to be spread.
Mm-hmm.
We keep saying, and Steve has done a lot more research than I have, but we keep saying drugs are bad, drugs are bad, drugs are bad. And I'm not an advocate to say do cocaine, it's good for you. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying there's an underlying message that we need to focus on, and not so much the drug itself, but why are people doing the drug? And when people have hope to get off the drug, do people really want to be heroin addicts? I don't think so.
That's a good point.
Do people really want to be addicted to cocaine? I don't think so. Do people really want to be alcoholics? I don't think so. But do they have the resources to not be like that? And is it their fault? It's not their fault that they're like that. You know, they're just a normal person with, like we said, a chemical imbalance in their mind, and they need help. And if they had professional help, if they had that hope that Brad and Darcy had, maybe they wouldn't be like that.
And even if they're not that. Even if they're not at the chemical imbalance level, because I don't think you necessarily need to get to that brink, right? You don't need to be classified as that in order to be like in a mentally unhealthy state of mind, right? So say you're having just a really rough time. Like I've been seeing these like memes and shit, which are like, this one's like pretty dialed in about how people don't do drugs and alcohol like because they're addicted to them, it's because they want to escape reality or something along those lines, right? So it's like, that's the core. And I totally can see that. Like, I understand how that could be the core. And so if people are trying to escape their own realities, it's like there's something way more internal, way more close to home that's really, really the issue, right? Like, that's starting it.
Yeah.
So if you can get to the core of that, which is just, you're not going to get there, you're not going to reach that through drugs. It's like, you need help, right?
You
need to talk to someone. You need...
Yes.
And that's where this all comes full circle back to you guys eliminating the stigma. Because the stigma is why people do not make that phone call. And the stigma is why people do not bring this up with their friends, right?
100%.
So the more that you can, you know, eliminate that and people feeling, I don't know, insecure or like inadequate or whatever, however you want to describe it. I mean, that's why I think it's really, again, back to you guys, that's why I think it's sick what your guys' purpose is. And you can obviously tell you guys are super, super passionate about the subject. So
yeah, when we spend a lot of time working on I Will Survive, right? And it's not so much anymore just like a part-time non-for-profit volunteer thing that we do. I don't just like, you know, donate my time.
Yeah.
It's more like this has become a passion for it. Me too. But yeah, when you put as much time, you dedicate as much time as you put into it, like, you definitely get a passion for it. You definitely, with all the conversations we've had too, like, it's definitely expanded the way I think personally. And you know what? I think people just got to do the research and keep talking to each other.
Yes.
You know, give people hope, keep those conversations going, and listen to cool podcasts.
Have an open mind.
Have an open mind.
Challenge your perspectives. Like, challenge the way you think about things and challenge the way you look at things. And reevaluate your positions and perspectives.
Yeah.
Worried.
Because the information's always changing, right? And we're always growing up. We're always gaining new perspectives. So be open to that.
I mean, we could keep going.
Yeah.
Because there's lots I still have, you know, not I could say, but yeah, I mean, I think that's maybe a conversation for another day. And we'll have to get back on here. We'll get back on the Local Love podcast.
Yeah, let's do it up.
Local Love.
And keep this conversation going.
That sounds good. You guys allowed me to pick the track last time. Do you have any in mind that you want to play on the way out?
Wasn't expecting this.
Kind of tradition.
It's weird being on this side of the table.
Yeah, see, you're on the spot now.
So flustered.
And as soon as I put this on, I'm running to the washroom.
What's the song Drew played for the CMHA? That'd be a good one.
Oh yeah, we can play that one. So, Drew...
CD Frontiers.
From the Frontiers.
Frontiers.
So, the Frontiers, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
They wrote and recorded a song for the Canadian Mental Health Association, Calgary Region.
Perfect.
And they debuted that song at their Partner Appreciation Night.
Is this
just last week on
Can
Monday.
I find this on YouTube?
If you... No, you can find it on their Bandcamp, though.
Oh.
If you Google The Frontiers...
Okay, I'll Google
it. The Bandcamp should come up, and then the song is... I think it's called The Moon in My Heart.
Oh, nice. Bandcamp.
Yeah. Let's see if The Frontiers...
Okay, here we go. Digital track, first track. We ready to go?
What? Yeah, man.
Do it up.
Okay. All right. Thank you for listening. That was fun. That was a good one, actually. It was a really good one.
Thanks for having us.
That was legit.
The moon is shining in my heart.
So bad.
The moon is shining in my heart. Shining in my heart. The moon is shining in my heart. The darkness came and I knew I was staring into the feet. The darkness came but I learned how to get on my own two feet. All because of you.
Shining in my heart, the moon is shining, shining in my heart.